Mornings with Pat and Amy for Friday, May 22nd, 2020. It is a Memorial Day long weekend. Love it. On today's show, it is the official, unofficial, I should say, start of summer. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Lori Loughlin was guilty after all.
Becky, no.
I know. When someone checks you out, and maybe it's been a while, got that story. When's the last time you wore pants? Why Ruby Rose left Batwoman and the mask of losing weight. But first, let's get you caught up on the news and stuff going on with Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing? Sorry, I didn't cough directly into your ear.
It's okay. Thank you for coronavirus via e-conference. That's fine. That's okay.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here for you. It is Memorial Day weekend, and the weather looks freaking awesome. Spring, screw spring. We're going to bring on summer with temperatures in the 70s and 80s, baby, which means I need to get my air conditioners out.
I'm lucky. This house has central air. I haven't serviced it since we moved here, so I'm waiting for it to die because I really should have a guy come over and look at this thing, but it's working. It's been on.
It's going to die on the hottest day of the year.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to die this weekend. It's going to die this weekend when I can't find a dude. Like, that's what's going to happen. I know it already, but you know what? It's been a good run. So that's okay. It really is. It's going to be beautiful. And what's up with just there's never ever spring anymore? Ever. It's like half winter and then summer now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And
yeah,
sad. But global warming's a hoax, so whatever.
By the way, police are stepping up patrols statewide, so don't be stupid and don't drink and drive. Mm-hmm. Also, remember, you must still practice social distancing and wear masks in public. We'll see just how many outbreaks happen after the weekend.
There's a lot of people that are going to go, you know, to family gatherings and friend gatherings and all the gatherings, and they're not going to practice this. Yep. And now here, there is some good news, though, when it comes to passing things, isn't there? When it comes to passing the coronavirus.
The CDC says coronavirus doesn't pass to people from surfaces as easily as they originally thought. Thank goodness. Now, this doesn't mean go lick poles, rub your face after a trip to Wegmans. It just means you don't have to worry as much about touching things and getting the virus.
That's great. So because a lot of people were worried at first.
Yes.
Okay, I get a package from Amazon. Do I have to like burn it before I open it? Or I'm at the store and you grab a bag of chips. Turns out it's not that you can't get it that way. It's just very unlikely. The number one way it spreads is really people to people and people breathing and sneezing and coughing near each other. Mm-hmm. A lot like the flu. But they said specifically, it's not like, for example, as contagious as the measles, where not only do you get it from people, but you get it from surfaces easily. So that's really good news, but you still need to wash your hands and sing happy birthday twice.
Governor Cuomo says summer school classes will all be virtual. As far as the fall goes, we will have to wait until sometime next month to find out if or how kids will be going back to school.
Yeah, they need to put together a plan about that still. I don't know. I want them to go back to school. I know that. I just don't know how it's going to work.
Exactly. Lori Loughlin.
Apparently it's Loughlin.
Aunt Becky. Aunt Becky has agreed to serve 2 months in prison while her husband Massimo Giannulli has agreed to serve 5 months as part of a plea deal in the college admission scandal. The couple insisted they were innocent and accused investigators of fabricating evidence against them.
Whoops, you're going to prison.
This is not the Hallmark Channel anymore, Aunt Becky. Like, this is real life. This is the big time.
She going to federal pound you in the backside prison is where she going. Well, it'll probably be the white collar.
And I'm sure she's probably like, it's fine. I've seen Orange is the New Black.
Oh, God. Yeah, she probably, you know what? She probably is. Isn't it interesting? She's getting more than her husband. Or no, that's 2 months and 5 months. Sorry, I thought it said 5 weeks. Her husband's getting more. Okay, well, that makes more. They're also going to jail because they don't have names that are easy to say. How's that sound?
Yes.
Okay.
Pat, have you seen the CDC guidelines for reopening schools?
Now, I saw a headline, and I admit I went, well, it's probably convoluted, so I'm not going to read it.
This has a number of bullet points, and my husband was the one that told me about it, and I had him text it to me last night. But so these are from the CDC. This is not from Cuomo. This is not from, you know,
Trump.
New York State.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We don't want to listen.
From the CDC.
We're not going to listen to him right now. So anyone over the age of 2 has to wear a mask. No sharing of any items or supplies. All belongings in individual cubbies or labeled containers. No sharing electronic devices, toys, games, or learning aids. Oh, wait. It gets so much better.
Because that's going to be tricky.
Oh, but it gets better or worse, depending on how you look at it. Desks 6 feet apart, all facing the same way. Try and wrap your mind around that for kindergarten or first grade.
Well, because in kindergarten, I know they just have shared tables and spots. They don't really have desks. Do they have desks in first grade anymore? I don't even know.
No. My daughter sits at a table, at small tables.
Yeah, because they find
that... Oh, no, sorry. No, that's my daughter. She's in second grade. My daughter's in second grade and sits at tables.
Because they find that, you know, group learning like that's more effective rather than having a desk. Because you know, you remember back in the day, you're in school, you'd have all sorts of crap in your desk that you'd be playing with while the teacher's trying to, you know, teach you something. So, all right, that's not good.
Distance on school buses. One child per seat, skip rows. So think about this. So there's going to be, what, 10 kids to a bus?
Oh my God.
Amount of extra bus drivers they're going to need, the amount of money on fuel for driving these kids. This is what I'm confused about. One-way routes in hallways. Tape on sidewalks and walls to assure kids stay 6 feet apart. Most hallways in an elementary school are not 6 feet wide.
Well, I mean, it doesn't
at least
like
they don't
that.
Seem that. Well, yeah, because they don't seem that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... I mean, well, here's the thing. It's hard to get kids to stay in a line when they're young.
It's like herding cats.
Correct. So, and just to get them to go in one direction together is hard, let alone getting them to stay separated by it. Wow. Okay.
No communal shared spaces, cafeterias, or playgrounds. Physical barriers or screens between sinks and bathrooms. Oh, and this... Only prepackaged boxes or bags of food instead of cafeteria food, kids eat in their classrooms. No field trips, assemblies, or external organizations in the schools. So schools that have YMCA programs can't
BOCES be in school. Programs. That's a note of BOCES programs too.
So limit volunteers and visitors. Some children stay with the same staff all day. No switching groups or teachers.
Okay. It gets even better. It gets more gooder.
Stagger arrival and departure times for students to limit exposure to crowds of kids, if possible, daily health and temperature checks, and several rules about cleaning and disinfecting throughout the day and hand washing frequently.
Here's the thing.
Right?
We're going to be e-learning if that's what it is.
I don't want to say it's impossible, but it is so far beyond the beyonds, especially because I've been working at a school for the past year and a half. I cannot imagine it being like that. What about the specials teachers? How is a class of kids supposed to stay with one teacher all day when they go to specials? They have phys ed, they have library, they have music, art.
My kid is delayed in speech. And he has to.
Oh my God!
And he meets with a speech therapist, and he also meets with an occupational therapist because he's a little delayed in certain fine motor skills.
Physical therapist. Yep.
And these things are vital for him as he's the type of kid where his mind is incredible. He's very, very smart. He's not on the spectrum, but for whatever reason, he is delayed in these two areas. I was also delayed in these two areas. And probably still am if you hear the things that come out of my mouth on a daily basis. But it's, you know, these are important things. And if he can't go to them or they can't go, I think this is impossible. I'm going to say it's impossible. This is impossible. Because most schools don't have classrooms that can have desks 6 feet apart. Most schools, like you said, don't have hallways, barely, that can do that. Most schools, I mean, the bus thing alone... I mean, so basically you're saying your kid has to get a ride to school. I mean, right? That's what we're saying.
That's what it sounds like.
And at this point, logistically, they're either going to have to pick kids up so early or the days are going to have to be so much shorter at school because of the logistics of all this. Parents aren't going to be able to go to a full day of work. Like, they're not going to be able to do it.
My kids get on the bus at 7 a.m. anyway.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I mean. So by the time... Because they're not going to have enough buses. They're not going to have enough drivers. Even if they hire more drivers, they're still not going to have enough buses. And it's not like they crank those things out. So you're going to need to drive to school. You're gonna have to drop your kid off. And even then, by the time all the kids file in and get settled in, it's gonna take out. Like, I don't see this as possible. And that's the thing. I don't want my kid homeschooled. I really don't. No. I don't like this. But you know what? I really don't like them being in jail. I don't want them to be in jail either. And while I know staying at your house isn't exactly, you know, going out in the world, at least he can run around outside here. At least he has some things to do here. At least there can be breaks from the same room, because it's going to be the same room. It's not, at least in our houses, he can go room to room and around the yard and stuff.
You know, so I'm a teacher's assistant. So I work with the special ed department. I work with the special ed kids.
Excuse me. You're assistant to the teacher. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shrewd. So I'm trying to envision the kids that I am usually with one-on-one who have a very difficult time functioning in a regular classroom to begin with. Mm-hmm. I have a hard enough time trying to keep my kids focused, and not even necessarily on academics, but just in a socially and emotionally positive space. I've had kids that have literally climbed the walls. I've had kids that have sprinted from the classroom. I've had kids run outside, and I've had to run them down like a freaking antelope. Wow. Like, I've had kids, boy, have I learned to wear flat shoes to school, let me tell you, because a lot of the kids I work with have a lot of issues, and yeah. I can't imagine placing this upon them along with everything else.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And I think it's impossible. I don't care whether you're a kid who has special needs or not. I think this is impossible because of just the pure logistics of it. And look, I want it to be understood. The CDC is just releasing an initial idea. This does not mean this is how it's going to go. And this doesn't mean this is their final idea. They're basing things off of current information. That's all they do. And a lot of times people, they're like, science doesn't know nothing. What does scientists know? The thing that's hard to grasp sometimes is when studies and reports and suggestions come up, they're based on current information that can change like that, with a snap of a finger.
And I sincerely hope it does too.
Well, and you hope it changes in a good way. And that's the thing is this phased reopening stuff could work. It really could. And by the time summer's over, we may have this under control. And by the time summer gets here, you don't know. There might be a vaccine. There really might be. Or a treatment or both. There really might be. And if there is, that changes everything. Then the CDC or science or any study says, well, the variables changed, which means we can now do this. So it's just the way it is now. If it doesn't get better, I really don't see kids going back to school or it being optional. I can see it being an optional to send your kid back to school, or you can e-learn. But yeah, it's going to be a mess. I can tell you that right now. Also, can I make a suggestion for when you have to run down a kid like an antelope to literally start scream singing Circle of Life at them so that they know what's coming? Because I feel like that's what should happen. Circle of Life, keep running, you little guy. I'm going to catch you now.
I'm just like my first 3 weeks of school. Actually, no, maybe not three. My first 2 weeks of school, I came home and cried every single day because the kid that I was paired up with, I love her to death, but I've drank a lot.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
This is the most I've ever drank in a year.
I think most teachers have a healthy drinking habit. And I can understand. But see, here's the thing. The good news is that yourself as an assistant to the teacher and teachers are all paid so fairly and given so many perks and benefits and are treated with the utmost respect by all parents. That's called sarcasm.
Hey, you're funny. I know. But I mean, there were days when I'd be working with this little girl and there were 9 staff members. 9 on one kid. Oof. Not like on her, but like surrounding a large area so she couldn't break and run for the street. Like, it's just, I cannot imagine having this on top of all of these, you know, everything that's going on.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you're trying to contain the Joker as well. Is a kid at any point going, hey, bats? Like, at any point does a kid say that? Or, wow. Oh my God.
Yep.
Movie news. All of the actors from the original Justice League movie are coming back to help finish the Snyder Cut, which comes out next year on HBO Max. We told you about that yesterday. Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, Ben Affleck, Jason Momoa, Ezra Miller, and Ray Fisher have all reportedly agreed to help, whether it's shoot scenes, voiceover stuff, whatever is needed. They're all in to help Snyder. Snyder says his version of the film will be an entirely new and different movie from the original one, like barely recognizable. And will include a lot more of Fisher's character, Cyborg, apparently. Because that was one of the complaints about
him.
Yeah, a lot of people liked him, but there wasn't much of him. He was kind of just kind of there. And a lot of people wondered why he wasn't used more.
I feel like when you have an ensemble cast like that, it's difficult to give everybody equal amount of screen time because you can't have a plot line that has everybody so intricately woven into it.
Yeah, and I agree. And at the time, you probably didn't need to do much with Batman or Superman because you just had a movie about them, Screaming Martha. And then, as I like to call it, and then you really hadn't had anything from The Flash, so you probably should have done a lot of The Flash. You didn't have a Wonder Woman movie yet, did you? I don't think you. Yeah, you did. She was in Batman versus Superman, right? Yeah, she came in. And
I don't even know
because she was in the baddie fight at the end. So really, you needed Aquaman. There wasn't a movie on him yet. You needed Flash and you needed Cyborg. Those were the three new characters, really. You know what I mean? And they just kind of ignored Cyborg. Like, he was there and he said some things and did some cool stuff, but that was it. And apparently how the bad guys are handled and there's a new bad guy. So I don't know. This is either, I was talking to my wife about this last night. Again, it's going to be a 4-hour movie or a 6-episode series, one or the other. This is either going to be incredible and Zack Snyder's going to be a genius, or Zack Snyder's career is going to be over after this. Because
No pressure, right?
I mean, this is a huge gamble because it could screw up a lot of things for Warner Brothers and DC. And it could end Zack's career. Because I'm telling you, the first two movies I really wasn't a fan of. I didn't think they were very good. And if this isn't perfect, he's done. So, interesting. Once again, speaking of the DC Universe, you were pretty shocked when we told you yesterday that Ruby Rose left Batwoman.
I mean, I haven't watched the show because I don't think I get that channel.
CW? But, oh, everybody. Yeah. You get CW, but it's like, I mean, CW. I mean, you're youth. Some people are really, you're either really into that or you're really not into that. It's pretty simple, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, what aren't some other shows like One Tree Hill
was
on the CW.
Supernatural's on CW, The Flash, Arrow, all the DC shows are on CW. About people. Is Riverdale on CW? I feel like Riverdale's
on CW. I think
it's
on Netflix.
Is it? I don't know. Or was
I've seen it on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, in any event, Ruby Rose is becoming a very big star off Batwoman, so it was really surprising that she up and left. According to Deadline, though, she and producers mutually decided to part ways after recently reflecting on the first season. Rose said apparently wasn't happy with the time constraints and commitment required for the show. And the film team was very unhappy with her. Sources said she acted snobby, wasn't getting along with others on set, as well as wanting to pursue more movie roles and felt she was too big of a star for the CW show.
Oh, that's like the kiss of death.
That's the thing. Now, you don't know what's actually true in these things because the studio could be throwing her under a bus on purpose because, you know, they're not happy. But if that's true, man, like these CW shows are big commitments and they are long seasons. Trust me, it's a haul. But you had to know that going in.
Yeah.
That's all. I can't believe that she wouldn't have known that. So whatever. A lot of people are jonesing for that position. I'm sure they'll find somebody good. The Sun says Mary-Kate Olsen and Oliver Sarkozy may have split over her desire to have children. A source tells the newspaper that she originally wasn't interested in having kids, but changed her mind. Oliver has two grown kids, reportedly doesn't want more. He's much older than her, of course. The source also says that they are very different people, with Mary-Kate liking small gatherings and not socializing, while Oliver loves the high life, and that led to them kind of going in different directions. We'll be right back. When's the last time you wore real pants? Carry the two.
It's May.
Right.
Right.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
It's
yes.
May.
It's May 22nd.
May.
Yes.
Okay. It's May 22nd.
It's Friday, too. We should probably say this every show multiple times because I always forget.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. We've been home since March.
Mm-hmm.
March.
So 3 months.
I have not put on pants that were not leggings and or workout pants or sweatpants mm-hmm. or shorts or no pants. Like I just, yeah, no real pants.
I'm a big shorts guy. We're short. Even it could be dead of winter and I'm wearing shorts around the house.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Guy. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Now I'm not the wear shorts and outside in winter guy. Because there's that guy who never stops wearing shorts. I'm not that guy. No, I wear pants outside. But in the house, that's my leisure wear is just, you know, basketball shorts. Yeah. I have worn real pants up until a few weeks ago when I started my part-time job. I wore real pants twice.
Okay.
They were both not to go out in. Like, are we counting jeans as real pants?
Yeah.
Okay, we are counting jeans?
We're counting jeans that do not have a stretch waistband.
Actually, I've worn jeans multiple times. I've actually worn real pants several times during the quarantine, it turns out. Because I was the designated guy who would go out, and I don't like wearing sweatpants out. I don't really like sweatpants, personally. Never been a big sweatpants guy. I don't know why. I'd rather just wear jeans.
I don't wear sweatpants, like, out of the house.
Yeah, like some people do. I'm not, like, some people have, like, quote-unquote nice sweatpants. I'm just not that guy. Just never been down with that.
Since we're talking about sweatpants, sure. Have you seen the trend with college age girls nowadays wearing those gray Hanes or like Fruit of the Loom sweatpants, not folded down, like yanked all the way up with like the elastic ankles? Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I didn't know that was a trend. No.
Oh my God. It was something I noticed at the last SU game that I went to.
Okay.
And I'm like, what are these girls wearing? Like, seriously?
Interesting.
I mean, these are not the new yoga pants. Like, these are not flattering.
Yeah, they're hanging. They're like, because I have a pair of those that I just have them, but they're like, I don't wear them very often. I'm probably doing something outside involving mud if I'm wearing sweatpants. It's cold and it's muddy or something. That's the only reason I'm wearing sweatpants, and I don't want to ruin a pair of jeans, even bad jeans. Mm-hmm. So I've worn jeans multiple times. I've worn slacks twice, both for job interviews.
Okay.
And that is the and both were on camera. And I did that. My wife was like, why are you even bothering with that? I mean, you're going to be on camera. Because I wore a button down shirt for the interviews. And I'm like, what if I had to stand up for any reason? You know what I mean? First of all, I don't want to stand up and be wearing, you know, basketball shorts, let alone nothing like some people do on ABC. But, you know what? I just want to show them that in the event I needed to stand up, that I'm taking this seriously is all. Right. So I've worn pants. Now, the reason I bring this up is because first, there was a study that showed that pants sales are down 13% since coronavirus started, which is kind of surprising. It's not more. But then another study says 80% of Americans working from home spend their day in pajamas. 70% of people say they'd rather work from their home office because of this. And the vast majority of Americans, 2 in 3 of Americans, do not remember the last time they actually wore real pants. They don't ever remember it. So that's, you know, 66% of Americans mm-hmm. have no idea the last time they actually wore real pants.
Sounds about right.
Can I tell you, though, I don't have a problem with this. Like, and here's the thing. I have this thing about offices and the dress code that I'm not saying that you should never have a suit or never look nice for work. But I honestly think that as long as you are all right, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to wear jeans to work. There's no reason you should have to get into a suit if you really don't need to. Like, there's some companies that still have the old school style that everyone has to wear a suit. I know some people, they think that if you're in a suit, you're ready to go and it shows you're a professional. Right. That's not how I do my best work. It just isn't. I like a suit, but I think that people should dress comfortably for their job.
Well, the other thing is, look at our job. Look at what our normal. See, even though working as a TA, I still think in my head of being on the radio. So, like, in radio, you don't really need to wear a suit.
Well, that's the thing. But it's bizarre, though, because that when I started, it was like that. When I started in radio in 2006, it was like, well, don't be a slob, but whatever. But you're on camera a lot now in radio. You're doing a lot of social media. And, like, I've had bosses talk to me about, you know, you got to look the part of the station. Ooh. If you're going to be on camera. And there was one time when I was young, the first time, they were right, I look crappy. But that happened to me a couple years ago, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm wearing a polo shirt. I look like a dad on a station that's for, like, families. I don't, like, you know, you should really wear a button down and make a better, I'm like, oh my God, okay, so am I supposed to be clean shaven? Like, where's the line between? Like, I understand that you want to have that look and sound of the people you're trying to talk. That's how radio works, by the way, kids. It's all based on who you're trying to reach. I hate to break it's true though. Versus this where we're just shooting the S and whatever. But it's like, but dress what?
I was just gonna say that as I'm thinking of this, dress codes on the Outer Banks of North Carolina are lax.
Yeah, very, I mean.
Yeah.
Here, nice. I would say they're fair. I wouldn't say people are. It's not like New York City, for crying out loud, where everyone's looking like a superstar or something like that. Like, it's not like, you know, because in New York, you ever been to Brooklyn recently? Unless my wife and I went there on just a little getaway a couple years ago because we'd never been to Brooklyn and we hear it's really cool. And these young people who live there, they're all beautiful. They walk everywhere. They got these rock hard freaking bodies. I'm so jealous of them. And they have no money, but they all look like $1 million. And
How's that work?
I don't know. I'm sitting there in a hoodie. You know what I mean? And that's, mm-hmm. I think that's me just, you know, fine in public. And they're in designer wear and that's their leisure wear. I'm like, you guys are ridiculous. But it's, I just think that you should be yourself. If yourself is a casual person, then that should, as long as you're not a total slob and offensive with what you're wearing, literally offensive, not, well, you should wear a tie. You know what? If that's your attitude, that's your attitude, but I don't agree with you. I think that you should just be as comfortable as you want to do. I should think you should project whatever the best version of yourself is. And some people think dressing up is a huge part of that. I get it. But for some people, they just don't see it like that. And I think that especially for office workers that no one sees you, the public does not see you. So many people work in cubicles and in call centers and all these places and work on a computer. They don't see clients. And if they do, it's once in a while. Okay, fine. Get dressed up for those. But after that, it shouldn't matter. If you come in a hoodie and sweatpants and you do amazing work, who the hell cares how you look when you come in the office?
Fair enough. I agree with that.
And honestly,
I mean, maybe not sweatpants, but
right again, maybe not, but jeans. You know what I mean?
I'm fine with that.
Not a business, and for women especially, because for guys it's stupid. Like we have the easiest time here, right? But for women, I mean, it's like guys can go shopping like once every couple of years at most. Like, you know what I mean? You really, really don't have to go shopping every. For women, it's like it's a constant. Am I right about that? Or am I wrong? I could be wrong. You need to shop?
I hate shopping. No, I hate to shop.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I hate shopping for clothes.
Do you do it all the time, though?
No. No.
Oh, good.
Oh,
so I am
wrong. Bamboo sticks under my fingernails. My God. I hate shopping for clothes.
And I just think sometimes we make all this effort, you know, with these clothes. and then you don't even try, and you still look good. You know what I mean? Like, people still think you look great.
I'm not one of those people.
Well, but
if I want to look even like I didn't try, I tried.
Sure.
Like
there was something you did. But it paid off for you, right? Yesterday you said you were getting sushi and someone checked you out. We were talking about that off the air.
I was not trying though. That's the thing.
But some dude was like, "Damn. What did he do? Come on, give us the play-by-play. What happened?"
I had sushi for dinner last night and went to go pick it up and was wearing black leggings, which is that's my uniform. Mm-hmm. I've got about 17 pairs of black leggings. Mm-hmm. And a men's cut Under Armour t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds and good. Then, yeah.
But it's not like...
super hot.
I mean, obviously, you know I am a female because I am that kind of figure.
Are you?
And it was one of those... I was walking to... shut up. I was walking towards the restaurant and I could see... I passed two like glass doors and could see this guy who he was... All right, I'm just going to toot my own horn. He was like breaking his neck to watch me walk.
Was
inside.
He now? Oh my.
And I was like, okay, like, all right.
Was he checking okay. out? What was he checking out? Was he checking out that backside? What, is that what was he looking at?
Men appreciate a woman with a big back. So, and that's what I'm working with. So,
yep. So he wasn't very, was he trying to be discreet?
Well, I'm sure he didn't think I could see him.
How often? I got a question. How often do you catch guys doing that? Because guys, we can't help it. We really, it's awful. And there are guys much better than others at this. But in general, guys cannot help but look at a girl they find attractive. Like it's just, it's in our DNA. We do our best to not be rude about it, but we can't help it. Generally,
it's been a long time, but I don't know if that's just because we haven't gone anywhere or done anything in
3 months.
Forever. Like, forever. 3 months.
Last time you wore pants, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, but it was one of those like, oh, okay.
but that's the thing, because I find that with guys and our attraction to the females that. You can make this huge effort and we're like, damn, like you put yourself together. It's impressive. There's no middle ground, though, because the opposite end is, well, I wear, you know, black leggings and a crappy shirt. And that can be hot to guys. Like that can be super hot to guys, because anything that shows curves is instant attention for guys. And if it's a little sporty, oh, yeah. Yeah, she's living that. She's got that athleisure wear on. She's living that athletic lifestyle. Yeah, she's a busy.
Oh, yeah.
She's a busy woman.
I'm
yeah.
so athletic right yeah. now. So athletic.
Yeah, put a hat on. Put a hat on right now. Put it in a ponytail. Put a hat. Oh yeah.
Men and women with hats.
Yeah. This is what I mean though. Like, there's no middle ground. If you don't try at all, we think that's hot. If you try a ton, we think that's hot. If you make a typical effort, you know what I mean. And even maybe that's not even true, to be honest with you. That might not even be true because, you know, at the same time, you can go to the office and, you know, a typical day at the office, no one's making a super big effort, but they're not trying. And that can be hot, too.
We should make a Facebook poll. See what people think.
We should. Scientific poll. We need a scientific poll.
For science.
For science.
For content.
That's right. Tell us. I think maybe it's just women are always attractive to guys. I don't think it really matters. I just
okay.
But even when you don't try is my point. Even when you don't try, that can still be attractive. Which is, I know, bizarre, but that's how pervy we really are in life.
Noted.
Okay. We are almost through with our first week of Diet Bet. I'm actually doing well.
I'm not doing too bad either.
Okay, good. I haven't weighed myself since Wednesday, but I was down 3 pounds Wednesday.
Good.
So, and I haven't been doing anything groundbreaking, just, you know, eating, making better food choices and life choices. That's about the end of it. And a little bit more activity because it's been nicer out. You know what I mean? Doing some housework, that sort of thing. And you're doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I haven't made any huge drastic changes because I'm trying to do this a little differently.
Yeah.
Because I'm do not want to be crash dieting anymore. Like it needs to be slow and steady as much as I hate that because I am in like, oh my God, I've been dieting all day. Have I lost 10 pounds? Like, no, it's not realistic, but that's what I want.
That's what I want too. And I totally understand. Now we're going into a holiday weekend and usually packed with food and booze. So it's, you know, try not to beat yourself up too much. I'm saying this to you, myself, and everybody listening. Like if you're doing this with us or just doing a diet in general, trying to lose weight, just remember one weekend does not have to derail weeks of progress and your coming weeks of progress. just pick it up Monday or Tuesday, whatever you're going to do, and get back on track, and you'll be fine. It'll be okay. You know what I mean? Just try not to gorge yourself. but when it comes to losing weight, it's not always, to me, I find it's not always as simple as, you know, eat less or eat certain things. But you came across a TED Talk.
I did. The guy's name is Ruben Meerman. It's something that was posted a few years ago. I feel like I've seen it before, but it was The Mathematics of Weight Loss. I guess he's a biochemist. So human fat is made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen.
Okay.
And basically, when you lose fat, it turns into carbon dioxide and water.
So how do you... Because I've always wondered this. Okay, so you lose weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, where does it go?
That was how they started. They were interviewing people. And what's your guess? What, you know, people were saying, oh, you use it for energy. You burn it. It goes into the ether. I assumed you pooped it out.
Like, I really did think you basically pooped it out.
Well, I don't think that you're entirely wrong. I think that it's a combination. It's of breath. So like carbon dioxide when you breathe out and, you know, water. Now, whether you sweat it out, urinate it out, you know, whatever, we're not entirely sure
drop
that
a deuce.
Part of it.
But
it's really interesting. It was very interesting to watch. And he did all kinds of like these experiments with like a balloon and, you know, stuff changing. But so one of the questions was, he goes, something I get asked a lot is, okay, well, if fat is just carbon dioxide, can't we just breathe more?
That's a good question. Why not?
And he's like, no, because you're hyperventilate. But think of it, when you are participating in exercise and you're breathing heavier, right there.
Yeah.
You are. But the idea, you can't just breathe more.
Right.
It's like
right.
you need to be eating less and moving your body to kind of get those fat, you know, cell molecules, whatever the heck they're called, like kind of moving to get that fat into your bloodstream to move it out.
Sounds pretty simple.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, but terrible, because it means I got to eat less, and I hate that part. also, the part where I have to move more, that is also terrible. I don't like those two things. I see. It isn't. I know that a calorie deficit will make you lose weight.
Right.
I mean, it really is. It is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
How much weight is a whole nother story. I saw a great episode of, you ever watch Adam Ruins Everything?
No.
With Adam Conover. So it's a show on True TV where he debunks common beliefs and things like that. And he did a weight loss episode, and it was really interesting. And I've done a lot of reading about this because I am a person that happens to be an expert in having weight on him. And while I know what the mathematics that you're talking about are true, he makes a great point in that so much of our weight is determined by not only your genetics, because my mom was not a thin woman. She wasn't a gigantic woman, but, you know, she carried some. And it's just, my grandma was the same way. My great grandparents were the same. Like, I found pictures of my family from Germany in like the 1800s. Old black and white, like no one smiles pictures. And they, first of all, half of them look exactly like me. And it was bizarre. That was weird. The other part, all of them had a little bit of weight on them. Not a ton, but a little bit. And you can just see it's a generational DNA thing. So that's part of it. The other part of it is we're a generation, and I'm not trying to, look, my parents were wonderful and they tried their best. But we are a generation of people, millennials, whose parents made some of the worst diet and food choices of all time for their kids. And they did it because, unfortunately, they had to work. Half of them or more were divorced. My parents were divorced. There were time constraints. There were budget constraints. So, and what came out? Hot Pockets came out when we were kids. Pop-Tarts. Gushers. Ecto Coolers. And all the Ghostbusters like pies came out. I don't know if you remember those. Ho-Hos.
No.
and all those like cake things that were prepackaged.
Little Debbie's. Oh my gosh.
Potato chips became a huge deal. McDonald's and Burger King with the toys like reached its, you know, really picked up. They were there before, but they really hit. Pizza Hut was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And there were no regulations on any of this stuff. And so you ended up with a whole bunch of fat people.
What's a calorie count?
Right. What was the calorie count? And then, and that was the dawn. The 80s were all about diet foods. All about diet foods.
That's right. And
cutting fat.
Diet food, not good for you.
Diet food makes you fat because it has less calories but more sugar. And sugar is what makes you fat, not fat. And we know that in 2020, but we didn't know that in 1985. So all
it's
of
the
these
same
things.
Way that we didn't know back in the 1800s that putting mercury on your body is not a good idea.
Not generally. Also, heroin is not a good treatment for various ailments. They learned that one over time.
Coke in Coca-Cola.
Cocaine in Coca-Cola. Thus, the name Coca-Cola was a bad idea, widely considered a terrible move. This is what I mean, though. It was a generation, the 80s and even 90s. Some of the single worst food decisions of all time were made. It was also the dawn of huge plates and servings.
And yet, some of the best workout clothes ever
'80s. Just what is going on with those tights and the thong outside the tights and the wow, they're so high. And the guys with just wow, everything's bright and big.
The tiny little shorts.
Yeah, just tiny. Like, how is it not falling out? Like, that's how short those things
wearing,
are.
Because they were wearing tighty whities.
They were. And that was the other thing they had. Like, tighty whities were everything. No one wore boxers or boxer briefs.
And huge mustaches and these huge glasses. Because that was my father.
The 80s were terrible. I mean, I would do anything to have been an adult in the 80s. I do, because that was all about excess and just doing crazy crap, and it sounds awesome. It sounds awesome. Looking back at it as a child of it, I go, holy crap, you guys were awful and irresponsible. But I don't blame society. Everybody's a slave to trends, and we are too.
Right.
And we'll have our own problems when we're old to look back at us and go, what the hell were you guys thinking? But that's the thing. So it comes down to decades of life choices that you didn't even choose. Like, I didn't choose. I was fat when I was in first grade. That wasn't my fault. There's nothing I could do to or control. And I've never been not fat. And so I'm trying, every time I try to lose weight, I try to remind myself now, Pat, you're trying to erase about 30, how old am I? 32 years of bad decisions. And if you think, and the thing is, you can, but if your expectation is you're going to erase them in a way that makes you look completely different, you're probably having the wrong expectation. And ultimately, and the Adam Ruins Everything episode just basically stressed, try to do things that make yourself feel better. And there's nothing wrong with trying to lose weight, but keep your expectations in check and learn to love yourself, because ultimately this is who you are and this is what you are.
I think that's, this time around, it's why I'm not weighing myself obsessively this time around, because it's just, it sets the tone for your day. And if it's not where you think it's going to be, it just, you know, pulls a shadow over the day. But if you are somebody that likes the numbers and, you know, there's also a website that I have used in the past that I think I might use again. It's called, it's just called MatthewsCalorieCounter.com.
Okay.
And in the calculator section, they have a BMI calculator, a daily calorie intake calculator, a BMR, which is like the amount of energy your body needs just to function. There's also a weight loss calculator, exercise calculator. So if you are a numbers person, if it helps you to see things in that way, I would suggest using that. Because I think that's what I'm going to go back to doing again, because it helped. I'm terrible with math and numbers, but actually seeing them laid out makes a big difference.
It really does. And I completely agree with you, because don't set the goal to have a six pack. Set the goal to be healthier. Set the
six
goal.
Pack. That's funny.
My goal is to have my clothes fit loose.
Oh, that's a good goal.
Not fall off me. Right now, and that doesn't take much. It takes about 10 to 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's really all it takes for stuff to start to get loosey-goosey. And I'm fine with that. Like, that sounds good to me. And I feel like that is a realistic thing. My daily calorie deficit, I just did the Matthews calculator while we were sitting here.
Oh, okay.
I have 25 days on this length because I took a quick guess. Expected weight loss, 17 pounds. Daily calorie deficit, 2,380 calories.
Check the date, because if you're not careful,
yeah.
And if you don't have the date far enough out,
I'm gonna set it by my birthday. I'm gonna set it by my birthday and calculate
that.
That's good. 305 calories.
That's much more doable than trying to burn like.
Yeah, because I'm like daily. So wait, I gotta. Yeah, that's too much. 305 calories to lose essentially 17 pounds. And
from now until December.
Until December 2nd of 2020.
So doable.
That's incredibly doable when you really think about it. And that's the thing. It doesn't take much to have a big impact. And you don't have to, unless you like to do this. Again, you do you. If it makes you feel good, good for you. But you don't have to kill yourself to lose weight and feel better and make big changes. Right. And have people notice, by the way, too. You don't have to do that.
Isn't it like I just saw that. It was like a Pinterest pin. You know, the first, it'll take X amount of time for your friends to notice. It'll take this amount of time for the people that live with you to notice. It'll take you this long. Like, so, yeah, and be kind to yourself.
Try to, anyway, because you're the worst person to yourself, I promise you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amy, another fabulous week. What'd you learn?
One of my girl crushes, Ruby Rose, is a diva. And that just makes me so sad. It crushes my lesbian dreams for her.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. She's an attractive one. She is. I really liked her as Batwoman. I did. I did watch some of the shows.
I liked her in Orange is the New Black.
That's right. She was in that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I follow her on Instagram. Let me rephrase that. I stalk her on Instagram.
Ah, yes. Yes. How immature of you. It's not like I stalk anybody on Instagram. I learned that our kids are never going back to school. Because the CDC guidelines are impossible as of now. But remember, I'd like to stress this one more time. The CDC and anything involving science is only dealing with what they have in front of them right now. Anything could change for the better or for the worse or for the better. So hopefully those guidelines are not what our kids have to go back to, because I don't think they'll be able to go back, period, if those are the guidelines.
We're going to be positive, positive, positive.
That's right. And this weekend, we're all going to socially distance properly, right? And not breathe and cough on each other and share drinks. So we all get corona. We're all going to do that, right? We're all going to be good.
I'm probably not doing anything, so I'm good.
Say that to all the people you know. I'm going to say the same. And maybe be responsible so we don't go from phase one to no phases. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. We will not be here Monday morning because it is a holiday. So, sorry, because you won't be here Monday morning either. That's why. So why are we doing a show? We will be back Tuesday. So we hope you have a safe, fun, socially distant Memorial Day weekend. I want to say thank you to all of those who sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our freedoms. Memorial Day is all about, you know, reflecting on that. My dad was in Vietnam. He did not lose his life, but he sadly knows lots of people. He only started recently talking about that over the last 5 years, maybe. And to hear some of these stories, it's shocking what he saw and what he went through. And, and that's the thing. So I just take a moment sometime this weekend. Just remember that a lot of people lost their lives to enjoy the hot dogs that you're going to enjoy. And even though we're in a coronavirus, enjoy the fact that you live in a country that tries its best to sometimes tries its best to take care of you. And it really always could be worse. And we have a lot of them to thank. So thank you to all those people who served. Mm-hmm. And thank you to you for listening. Thank you to Amy for Hey, I appreciate that. Thanks for putting up with
me. I appreciate you.
I sometimes appreciate you as well. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Only when you wear athleisure wear. That's the only time I appreciate you.
I'm going to take back all of my nice things. All of those words of affirmation for you that you thrive off of. Not going to give them to you now.
All right, I'll send you a card. How's that sound?
Yay!
All right, there you go.
Okay, you're fine.
Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening, and bye.